Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Today is our special guest day, where we will hear from a friend in the ministry who will share their insight and stories on truth in this chaotic world. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, everybody. This is Guest Thursday, and this is part two of our good friends, Sean and Janet Leone from Houston, Texas. And we had them last week, and if you haven't heard it, you got to go back and listen to it. It was a beautiful expression that God led us to of God saying to Janet, I'd like to embolden you more on speaking what I have to say. And she said, okay, I'm willing. And she learned a couple of, and this is through abiding. This is what it looks like. It wasn't like, okay, fine, I'll go do it. Actually, she already knew, I just need to receive and understand what you're saying. He said, well, one important thing is this isn't about you. And I don't need you to say what you think should be said. Why don't you just let me say it, you know? And if you relax about that, I'll tell you when. And she called it a quickening of the spirit. It's a great word. It's hard to describe that to people because like, well, what do you mean? And all we can say is that when the spirit, what's called quickens you, you get this kind of sense and an understanding is I'm at work here. I'm about ready to do something here. I want you to pay attention here. And you start to learn it. And, you know, I'm sure, you know, for you, Janet, because you said you're experiencing this more and more and more, probably the quickening, in a sense, is becoming easier to recognize. Is that mm-hmm. a fair statement?
That's a very fair statement, yes.
Yeah. How do you think that works? That you know, as you're connecting, because it's really a connecting with the spirit that's saying, this is me, this is me, this is me. How does that work for you? How do you sense that?
So I really think it started with abiding.
Mm-hmm.
And that technique of going deeper and really communicating with God, asking God questions, looking at it as an interactional relationship, I think that was the beginning. And you're very right. Like the first couple times it happened, I was very hesitant. I was like, maybe, maybe not. But it is you just feel it in your spirit. There's almost a flutter in your chest.
Yeah.
It just opens up. And the more you experience it, the easier it is to recognize. I think it really is just that relationship, increasing that relationship and making it a priority, opening up that communication and realizing that the communication goes both ways.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so as you, each of us say, we're willing to, we would like that, deepen our relationship, make sure that we're abiding. And then as we look forward to that, he says, I'll show you what that looks like for you. And you have to be trained and taught. So, you know, when you first, like you say, when you first have it, is this really, you know, you, and is this how it works? And yep. And then yep. And then yep. And then pretty soon it's like, now I know what that means to me, you know, and that's how it works. So we just urge everybody to don't be afraid of it. We can't define it for you specifically other than you'll know because he'll let you know it's him. Which is kind of fun. So, and as you guys, you know, are experiencing the joy of walking with him through abiding and through being led by the Spirit, which obviously you're sharing, how else have you seen God work? Maybe, Sean, you have any stories about your work or things about life that you can share with us about what happened and how did it happen and how did you walk through it?
Sure. I got plenty of those. Work specifically, there's been a couple things at work that have been definite, where I've seen God working in God's provision. Probably one of the biggest ones is being a part of C12 and learning from other and being in community with other Christian business owners. Before I was a part of that, I thought business and God were two separate things.
Yeah. Mm.
And so I learned that they're not. And I've become, if you want to think of being emboldened, I feel like I've become very emboldened. And it actually started even before my first C12 meeting, after my dad passed, we did a huge driver safety meeting. Mm-hmm. First time I've ever done one. We had about 125 people in the room, and I was standing next to my mom about to go open up our driver safety. We didn't speak to the whole everyone at the company at that time. And I looked at my mom and said, "Mom, I feel like I should open with a prayer." She goes, "Well, if you feel God sent you to do that, then you should." I was like, "But I didn't prepare. I don't know what to say." And she said, "You know, if God put it on your heart to pray, he will give you the words." And so I went up there and just, you know, from the heart, nothing's pre-planned. I said a prayer, and the encouragement or the extreme emboldenedness was that at the end of my prayer, there was a resounding amen from all the people who worked with us.
Wow.
Wow.
I mean, almost like echoed off the room. It was so loud, this loud amen. And it was, then chills ran through my body. And so that was probably my first sign that God wants us to be a Christian company. And being part of C12, I've learned things. Other brothers in C12 had Bibles at their front door. And I thought, I can't do that. I can't put a Bible at the front door of my office. And then about two years in, I said, why can't I? None of these ideas are mine originally. I stole them from most of my other brothers or borrowed them, and they've freely given them, thankfully. There's a Spanish and an English Bible at the front door of our office, and the little plaque that says, "We believe in the power of the Word of God. If you do not have a Bible of your own, please feel free to take one."
Love it.
We buy them by the case. If someone takes one, we replace it. We've moved on from there to putting Christ in our mission statement. And it's on the wall in our conference room. We have panels with, through faith in Christ, we strive to through faith in Christ, we strive to, oh gosh, I just said, through faith in Christ, we strive to bless our community while providing exceptional service. And then from that, it led to putting Bible verses on the walls in the office. Another kind of thing that I've never once had a negative reaction to anyone who's walked in my office. No one's ever asked me, why is there a Bible there? I've had plenty of positive reactions, and I have plenty of Bibles that we've given away. I think the stories multiply because we have a neighbor who's a dentist, and he has so many more people walk through his office than we do. We're dear friends. We go out to eat quite a bit together because we're both empty nesters. But I told him about it, and he said the same thing. So he goes through like a case or two a month of Bibles.
Wow.
And so as he tells people, we don't know how many other people are now doing things. And again, this wasn't my idea. I heard it from someone who had actually heard it from someone else to start off with. So God has definitely blessed us. He's blessed our business. And he's emboldened me as well to be very out there and be very willing to state that we are a Christian business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How do you, as a owner leader, how do you cast that throughout your senior leadership team and then through your employees to embrace that as your part of your mission and part of your value system, more than just a plaque on a wall? But how do you actually facilitate that relative to people carrying that out within your business, particularly the people that report to you?
Sure. Well, I would say one thing, we don't force it specifically on anyone. It's very clear, this is our belief. You don't have to share our specific belief to work here,
right?
But our core values is God honoring. Mm. And by that, we have to operate in a manner that is honoring and pleasing to God. You don't have to be a Christian to operate in a manner that does please God. That's one of the things we say is, like, we're not saying you have to be a Christian, but you do have to operate in an ethical, God honoring manner. And so, that's kind of, really, we say we don't really push on anyone, but day one before they work here, they know, who we are and what we are, and we're very upfront about it. And again, with my mom and my sister, and we all kind of work together, we're very, very equally yoked on that matter. So I think that's a true blessing, that it's never been an issue. No one's ever questioned us about it. No one's ever challenged us on it. And it's been, like I said, it's just been a blessing, and we hopefully can continue forward.
Yeah. Have you had any situations with your executive team where you did kind of have an ethical question in front of you that you had to process through, using your value system? How did you, we in any business always wind up with situations where we could go one way versus another? And how do you have any stories you could share about it? You don't have to get into the detail of it or the who of it, but what kind of things have you had to deal with? And then how did you facilitate that discussion, which then is how you actually lived out your vision?
Well, I'd say we truly work to live by our core values, and they're on the wall. And one thing I've told the whole leadership team, that if you ever make a decision that falls within this set of core values, even if it's the wrong decision, you will not be troubled, and I will be beside you and say, you made the right decision. Because we can all make a decision that we don't see the outcome of. But if we work under these values, and that was your core for making that decision, then you made the right decision, regardless of outcome. And so I try to give them freedom to not be scared to make decisions for that matter. And there's been many times where someone's come to me with, Sean, what should we do? And so a lot of times we'll look back, well, does this fit within our core values? Is there some core value that this doesn't fit within? And sometimes they'll say, well, I don't feel like that's a core value, or I don't feel like this is exceptional service, or whatever, any of the core values. And then, okay, it doesn't fit, we don't do it. And it doesn't matter if it could bring financial gain. That's not the question. That's not a core value of financial gain. God takes care of that for us.
Yeah. Do your people, as you work that through with them, do they start to see the beauty of that? You know, that's what a great way to live, and the freedom that brings, and you're not focused on just making money.
Well, I see even more so than the people I work with. Yes, it does. I've seen people kind of flourish under that. I've seen people excited about it. Mm-hmm. And I've seen it even more so that as we are hire new people, I feel like the people who fit within our core values seem to be who's attracted to come here. More people come, and we also do a lot of like service projects and try to give back to the company, all kinds of different things. I mean, packing kids meals for the kids meals organization, going serving and helping there, and just all kinds of different events. We do picnics for shelters for children who are in abuse situations, and go there and have a fun day with them, and people really love doing that. And we pray before each one of them. We, you know, we let them know that this is God's provision, this is a blessing of God. And
big confirmations. One of the senior leader teams, at one point I heard him tell you know, doing this and having this framework, I sleep at night better.
That's great.
Sleep at night because we're making decisions this way. And so that's a piece for employees.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And as you guys, you know, are married and now, you know, empty nesters, parents, grandparents, lots of decisions, you know, that you're making. How do you together, this is just about your decisions of life, how do you process things together to come to unity of the spirit that you know that God's will is being fulfilled? How do you two do that, you know, together?
One of the things that we've done since the kids have left is at night I cook dinner and we sit down at the table and we talk. And we might put on a record softly in the background, but we'll talk for hours sometimes. And that's a really good time to decompress and work through in a blessing in a time that we didn't have when we had kids at home. Big keys for me for unity is that we can disagree, but still enjoy that time. There can be a disagreement that we haven't agreed upon, that we're still working through, spending time abiding each on our own, but we still enjoy that time. And that, I think, has been a big difference. Instead of having those tension points where you just are so tense to be with each other, that you still enjoy each other. And I think that helps us get to unity better because we are having that time where we're just communicating.
But I feel that we are in unity when it comes to anything in the realm of our Heavenly Father.
Yes.
You know, I don't feel like that's never an issue. It's our earthly issues that get in the way. And those are the ones that we have to work through. But I think we've done a very good job of working together. We've gone to a lot of marriage classes throughout the years, different Christian seminars through the church. Our pastor one time told us that he thought we either had the best marriage in the church or the worst marriage in the church. So if there was a marriage seminar or a marriage weekend, we were the first on the list every time. But you learn tools. I think, honestly, the Abiding in Christ weekend, a simple thing as sharing the desires of your heart. We have just had more discussions about the true desires of our heart that we didn't know about each other before we did this. And I feel like that's led to more contentment in the relationship because we both feel like we're on the same page more. We understand because both of us, I feel, honestly want to do whatever we can for the other.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Yeah.
But and you mentioned that sometimes you do disagree, which is good. When you do disagree, and it's not about we have to agree in the next 10 minutes, but how do you work then through, okay, we know we don't agree yet, but we need to keep going to get to God's answer. What do you do at that point to pursue God's answer when you know, we don't agree, which you're saying you don't, you're not moving into contention about that. You just kind of say what Linda and I say is that, well, we just don't yet know God's will. Let's keep going. How do you approach that when you are in disagreement to come to an agreement?
I think one thing you just said is that we don't have to come to agreement the next 10 minutes. I want agreement the next 10 minutes. Let's get this over our heads. So I think just clearly stating this is what I think, feel, or believe about this situation, and then letting it go, not going further into this is why you should believe what I believe.
Yeah, right. Mm,
that's good.
And I love that too, because you always heard you cannot go to bed mad. And while I agree there shouldn't be true anger, I feel like there's many times that I was very upset at night and at Janet for some reason that, okay, we've calmed down, we've ended the discussion that evening. The next morning I wake up, I'm like, in my helmet, why in the world did that even matter? But you go to sleep, you pray about it. And if we don't get the resolution quickly, you go to the Word and spend time with God. I think it's recognizing a lot of times what we make big deals really aren't big deals. No deals at all.
And I think recognizing that by not trying to come to agreement right away, by spending time separately, praying about it, abiding about it, a lot of times the situation will resolve itself before we step in. It's just, I think that process and giving it more time.
Yeah.
A lot of times God works it out for us and we don't even have to, it's taken care of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's been a real blessing to see.
Well, I'll say it's not always giving it time either. There's a lot of times I feel like we've gotten much better at this, and you've probably modeled it for me better than I have for you, but that we try to take the personal side out of it and look at the situation. And so, and once you get your personal feelings out of it, and we kind of learned it a little bit in C12, is we use this a lot too, is get to neutral.
Yeah.
Get to neutral. What's the real issue? Let's take our feelings out of this and let's have an honest, open discussion.
Yeah.
And I think that's helped a lot.
And that is a concept you brought from C12 home that's been very helpful, because until you get to neutral and you're not really pushing your agenda, it's hard to come to that agreement.
Yeah. We also argue about anything you can Google.
Yes, that is true.
Find it on Google. We're not going to have a 10-minute discussion about what's true or not true. If we can somehow figure out the answer through a 10-minute search, then why are you? Let's just find the answer.
Yes, We have been known from time to time to argue over factual things that are easily researched.
Yeah. And when you say, you kind of get yourself out of the way with that and don't let it become personal, how do you approach it at that point when typically you feel personal, but you've got to work at, well, wait a minute, let's just keep working without thinking it's something against me or I've got to prove my point. How do you practice that so that you just freely and openly say, well, let's keep going to truth. Let's keep walking at it. I don't agree yet, which is good. And we'll get there. So how do you do that so it's enjoyable when it could be easy to kind of take it personal?
I think it takes both of us to be in the right frame of mind. And not necessarily that moment, just as a whole in our belief that I feel like we're both pretty good. If one of us says, hey, let's stop for a minute. Let's get to truth here. That the other one's really good about, okay, let's stop and get to truth, not continuing on with the argument or whatever the discussion is. So I think being in unity on that and understanding the benefit and the beauty of that takes both people equally to get to that point.
So Sean does something that from time to time does drive me crazy.
What?
But it's I think he recognizes in me when I reach an emotional level, and he'll come over and he'll hug me, and he'll hug me tight. He won't let me go because sometimes I'm kind of like, nope, kind of squirt. I love you. It's going to be okay. Let's move on. And he'll hold me long enough that I'll finally take that deep breath. And that's a very good thing.
Mm. It's that reminder you're on the same team, right?
Yeah, that's beautiful, actually. Yeah, that's what we call love. We're talking about that. Well, thank you so much, Sean and Janet, for sharing your heart. We can see the joy of your heart. We can see how beautiful it is to bear witness for Christ, for being able to live a life of freedom, even when you don't agree, and how you're honoring God in your business and in your life. And so we, Father, we just pray the covenant over them and their business, mm-hmm. that you would bless them to make them a blessing, which they're willing to do. I pray that they enjoy giving it away, which is freely given away, not out of duty mm-hmm. or out of should or what they think they should do. They just get to enjoy you giving it away through them. And so we pray that that would continue for them. We pray for their children, their grandchildren, for the business, and that the joy of life will continue, knowing they're not exempt from trouble, but that they would work through it and keep walking forward into all that you have for them, mm-hmm. particularly as you have described to them the desires of their heart that you'd like to deliver to them. And so we thank you and we praise you now in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks so much for joining us, guys. I just want to highlight in these last two episodes the sweetness of a theme that I don't know if you guys even recognize developed in the midst of this, but you were talking first about unity within your family, even the family business, and unity within your personal family, all of you being at the same church, and the kids coming back and the grandkids coming back, and then unity within your church, the unique sense of unity through the Holy Spirit that exists in that place, and even with the vision for the church planting, and then also just the unity within your business. And all three of those things, Rich and I were just talking the other day about John 17 and Jesus's prayer for future believers. And one of the things he prays is for unity of future believers, not just for the sake of unity, but so that the world would know him and would know that he is who he says he is and has done what he says he would do. Unity is where that is displayed. And I see that thread tying back to the very, one of the very first things you said in that episode last week, that you prayed Luke 10:2 every day at 10:02, and that, you know, God, there is a harvest, and raise up workers to send into the field. And whether you recognize this fully or not, then you just described what that looks like. As he is raising up workers to send in the field, he is bringing unity in churches, unity in families, unity in your business to go and do that very thing that he is sending you to do, to show people who he is. And that was just bookend, perfect, beginning to end, an example of how God uses unity literally to send workers into the harvest. So thanks for that.
Yeah, thank you.
It was beautiful. So, and if you have questions from today's broadcast, be sure to send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. See you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.